I want to give you another speaker, and I like the title of this, From an Interest to a Career. It's really nice to get paid to do something you like. A lot of us like getting paid. A lot of us learn to enjoy the job because we're getting paid well. A lot of us hate the job and the pay. A lot of us hate both. A lot of us hate one. But From an Interest to a Career really sounds like the best of all worlds. I ran into this person a while back when she was seeking some participants in a program in New York City. And unfortunately, because we couldn't get enough participants, the program didn't quite get off the ground. I think it's something that needs to get off the ground. And Brian, I think this is something that I will be contacting you about also too, to see how we can publicize this. Another opportunity for our teenagers in New York, probably maybe next summer. It's up to Professor Lutie what she wants to do with it. But I think this was something worthwhile, and we just didn't get enough publicity on it this past summer. We'll do it again. So, yep. I just want to call your attention to what Stephanie's going to say, because I think we ought to publicize her next year. Okay, having said that, From an Interest to a Career in Computing, I give it to you, for whatever she cares to say, Professor Stephanie Lutie from Rochester.
Watch it, Bill Robinson. Danger, danger.
Space. The robot from space.
All right. Well, thank you for having me today. My name is Stephanie Lutie, and I teach software engineering at the Rochester Institute of Technology. So you'd have thought I'd have been here, you know, no problem, but I was caught in the throughway, which is why I was almost late. But I'm very happy to be here. What I wanted to talk to you guys about today, basically, is my path to where I am. It's actually dovetails very nicely with the last speaker, because I started school in 1976, so basically I feel that I really was able to benefit from a lot of the fights that a lot of people here have certainly partaken of and certainly helped with, and others certainly along the way. So I want to talk to you guys about that, in addition to what I'm doing now and, the workshop that Carl mentioned. I'm actually from California originally, but hear me out anyway. I've always liked school, and that was one of those things that I liked. I went to regular public schools, although my brother and other relatives of mine had gone to state schools, math and science and all those things. Although my family wasn't really affluent, I thought that around in the sixth grade that these things called computers are really cool. Although I'd only seen or heard about them on TV and movies and things like that, I didn't own one. It was still one of those things that a lot of people didn't own at the time. But I thought, hey, that'd be kind of neat to develop something that, you know, could help me drive, for example, because I knew I wasn't going to. I just kind of kept that in the back of my mind, in addition to the possibilities that it had with being able to do things and having fun, of course, too, because at the time, things like video games were just. I felt they certainly supported me and family, to my family at home. It was also very important because, as some of you may know, that sometimes when you're a child and you're in middle school or high school and you like school, but certainly I had a lot of great friends going through, and I had resource teachers that helped me out when needed, and certainly in getting accommodations like math class and science class were always very difficult because board writing or science class. But I persevered in college into computer science, which for the most part, actually I take that back. I really wanted to go into, I'll tell you the difference in a minute, but I thought that was really cool because I thought if I went into computer engineering, then I could develop computer engineering. I went to California Polytechnic State University, but I liked software more science. And in a fantastic disabled student services office, and nice support on that end as well, to help me do accommodations, but also in helping me with forming a great community to support my academic interests, and but also things extracurricular too, since obviously it's important to have that school life balance in your life. When I went to college, it was 8 hours away from my home. And a good traffic, you can get to San Luis Obispo in 8 hours. So It was a great transition, and I can say actually that, and I'm sure my parents would agree that that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. And so certainly having that experience in addition to the academic experience has been fantastic to me through all these years, so much that I keep in touch with the faculty that I worked with as an undergraduate, and I stayed there for my master's as well. Because I learned not only was the technical part very interesting, but I found that I like the idea of research. Not only in going out in industry, which is certainly important and fantastic, but I thought that I felt that I like exploring things and investigating things and trying to have things be applicable to a wide range of people. And so when I was a junior, after an internship, I decided that I wanted to go to grad school. And so I was certainly supported by that by my parents. I was lucky enough, I would say, to have a scholarship that paid for that. My school actually has one just for students who are visually impaired, and so I was able to benefit from that my 6 years there. And so with that, I was able to get a taste and work with faculty and fellow students to explore things that was really interesting to me. And so for me, those things included how to deliver software that's of interest and useful to people, but also how to make that software usable to people, which often aren't always in the same group. What I did with, I kept that in mind as I went through, because when you start in grad school at first, you're still working at the breadth and working your way through and figuring out what you really like. And so after that, I thought, I really want to teach, and research. And so I went on to get my doctorate. I went to Arizona State for that. And it was a huge school, still is. And I had a very good experience. And so with that, I was able to really focus on what I wanted. And that's one of the things I wanted to carry through is like, sometimes people make decisions based on maybe convenience, or sometimes, you know, I've seen, because I teach the path of least resistance, but it really can pay off to really kind of stay there and really work at it. For example, I mentioned you, and I'm sure my students think, oh, she was a 4.0 student all the way through. Well, I repeated a couple of those classes. And so when students do run into problems when they're transitioning in or they're having an issue, you know, I do kind of share to some degree, of course, that not always perfect the first time in terms of how we get it and how easy it is to us. Sometimes you have to work at it, and really, you know, that investment of time and effort will pay off. But also to share and to collaborate and to talk to people when you are having problems. It doesn't show weakness, but it shows that, you know, if you come up with some, you know, great things. And engineering and computer science as a whole, when I look around and when I was in class or even when I teach, I go quarters with the only female being in the room. Teach to all students is very critical. What I do to kind of all the research aspect, certainly to help aware of opportunities and to show what's possible beyond. And so I got a 8 called Broadening Participation Project. It's called Project ACE, Accessible Computing Education. And so part of it has to do with, you know, going beyond things like, you know, how to use a word processor and all that, which certainly are very important. It's made out of Lego. They have different problems as a team and things, but also building computers too, to get them interested. So several students, I certainly try to expand that, and we'll talk about that certainly offline if you'd be interested, and I'm going to have some Q&A. For me, the idea, and so you have to bring students there as support, not just with, you know, note takers and that type of thing, which is very important, but also things like things that can help them in terms of software or hardware devices to help them in their classes, to be able to catch up or deal with lectures as being given, especially if it's in math and science and things like that. And that goes back to my interest in problem solving. And so it's always kind of carried through from my interest in kind of helping people and problem solving and, you know, learning new things, that have always carried me through all these years. And I don't really see that stopping. The problems may change, and the reasons may change, and the technologies may change, because they certainly change very quickly. But those same things hold true for me, that have really allowed me to enjoy what I do. And to further that, the fact that I'm allowed, as part of my work, to involve undergraduate and graduate students in that, some of whom themselves are visually impaired, I think is really enriching for me as much as I hope it is enriching for them and their career plans. So those are just the kind of some of the kind of things that, as I mentioned, I feel that I've benefited a lot from a lot of the work that's gone in the past, certainly in terms of the Rehabilitation Act and a lot of the other hard works that people have done over the years. Do I think everything's perfect? Certainly not. You know, I can. I'm married, and my husband's sighted, and so there are all kinds of little things that, you know, I've noticed, like when we're talking to someone in a store, and even though they're talking to me, they're looking at him. You know, stuff like that. That goes on. And so he knows, you know, how irritating and how wrong that is, and so he just looks at me the whole time to see if they ever figure it out, and they usually don't. But, you know, so I know certainly we have a long way to go, but certainly we are making steps. I do have a final plug, actually, before we break into a little bit of Q&A. The Youth Slam that was mentioned is a fantastic opportunity. I actually run the robotics track for the Youth Slam. I did it last Youth Slam 2009, and I'm going to be doing it again this next summer. And it is a fantastic experience for students in high school coming together, meeting peers, their mentors. I took my students on a field trip to a robotics lab, and they got to tactily explore space suits that go to on space missions in addition to robots. And yeah, that was really cool for me too. So all kinds of really neat things that I would certainly recommend. Science Academy as well, that I know that was just held, but obviously it comes around again as well. So whether you be a parent with students that might be interested, or people who might want to serve as mentors, certainly keep that in mind next summer. In addition to hopefully for the workshop, it's called the Imagine It workshop that I hold, to kind of again to explore technology and to see what options are available to them. It doesn't have to be one thing. Certainly, the one thing that they're used to, or necessarily things that their friends' parents do and stuff. But just to see the breadth that's out there, so that when the time comes for them to see what they want to do as a career, or what they might want to study in college, they can see the breadth that's out there and just make a more informed decision. Even if they go in undeclared, I mean, they'll learn a lot more, but to not close the doors for math and science and computing. So I enjoy it, I love it. I love sharing my interests with students, and I hope that other students would also have that opportunity. But I wanted to open it up for some Q&A if we have some time. I know we're questions.
Your name, not ours. Laura.
You teach at RIT?
Yes.
Yes, I have two buddies. Okay. And Ryan is a graphic design student.
Eric probably knows who I am, because up until this year I was... Stephanie Ludi? Oh, yeah. Right, thank you.
Stephanie? I think I contacted you. You forget.
Okay. Oh yes, you're Hugo's roommate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I was out of town, which is why I couldn't get back to you. But hey, nice to meet you. And I'll definitely be emailing you. Small world.
Sorry, Oscar, go ahead.
How you doing? Have you considered maybe rolling your program into, maybe combining it with the first program the first competition that's,
I know what you're talking about. A first team, so I know what you're talking about on that one. What it is that, for those of you who don't know, is there are a couple different at first. It's a professional one interested in science and technology, in STEM. And they have a middle school program, it's all Legos, and that's the one. There's a couple high school ones as well. Those are usually school-focused, school-based for the most part. I actually, because of the way my grant was written, I can't do that until my grant is over. But what I did do is I did ask for some separate monies to do that. So while right now the workshop is kind of a separate thing, I do promote first as a way of students to do follow-up. Because I'll tell you, with outreach, if it's just like a one-time bombing run, you know, with students to kind of interest them, it doesn't quite do it. You certainly want to have follow-up experiences. And so things like anything extracurricular, like school clubs and first teams and things like that, are fantastic ways of getting kids interested in doing a follow-up. Those things last for like 3-4 months at a time, and school clubs often meet all year and things like that. And so my funds come through, what I'm going to do is I am going to pilot that. But right now it isn't. But I definitely recommend it as a follow-up activity. Okay. Maybe we can talk a little bit offline too, because I'm curious as to if you're talking about the robotics challenge or you know, which, yeah, so, okay.
Alex, you're the last.
Hello, I was just curious if you've worked with the program at Hunter College with the STEM program for minorities in with disabilities that want to go into science, technology, and engineering?
I'm in contact with a couple of people there, but certainly not as, the relationship isn't as strong as I would like it to be. I have someone from there actually on my advisory group. But I could definitely see the benefits, you know, of being able to extend that relationship, because I think it would be a fantastic one.
Okay, because they do take high school students as well.
Oh, really?
Into that program.
Oh, okay.
And so I was just curious, because I remember you couldn't find a lot of participants. So that's one possible option.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And as a follow-up to that, Stephanie, I know last summer we tried to get something off the ground with you and high school students. We have a commitment that I got from our state agency to distribute that information as well. So if you contact me, I'll make sure we forward it on to get the word out as far as possible. For high school students, if you're able to do this next summer.